Okay, so we looked at the things down here where I, and then let's see, I'm trying to get to where we were. Okay, I think that's where we were left off. We hadn't looked at an and statement. So this uses the word and as opposed to some languages use double ampersand, some use the word and. So this one is saying if V year goal is greater than 250 and V state equals Massachusetts. Okay, so I have the compound that I can use if I want to. And the next example down goes into OR. And simply says the same thing. Now notice all of these so far are just updating a file. I'm not putting anything on the screen. And in fact, that's the way a lot of programs work. A lot of programs will just generate file data. They can be run at night, they can be run whenever. They generate file data, they generate error reports on a file, so that if any error report, somebody can check the error report. But a lot of these are not where you're sitting in front of a screen running them. They're being scheduled and run whenever. Okay, and the third one that I wanted to look at is ands and ors, which operates the same way that they do in other languages. If state equals mass and the parenthesis means what's inside the parenthesis will be resolved first. So it's state equals mass and either of those things. Okay, so they get resolved first. One of them has to be true, and Massachusetts has to be true in order to get the true activity. Anything else will give you the else. Okay? And when I eliminate the parenthesis, that proves it. The ands get resolved before ors, so these two get combined, and after the or stands alone. Okay, because the hierarchy is ands get resolved before ors. Okay, so I conceivably can have something that's not Massachusetts, and in fact I do. I pick up two Rhode Islands. Okay, because ands can be resolved, are resolved before ors. And I have a null operator where I can test for something is null. Okay, so this one I'm looking for Rhode Island, and either your goal less than 100 or your goal is null. And those are the things that get generated from that. Okay, so basically the ands and the ors work like they do in other languages, and the big rules are that it follows the order of operation, where ands get resolved before ors, and you can change that by using parentheses. Okay, but ands get resolved before ors, and that's true of logic and true of programming. Questions on that? Okay, and again, I'm only handling in these examples one record. So So in all of these, I'm going in and getting, and I said it wrong when I said, oh, Rhode Island's got picked up thing. This means I will put in the ID. It is stored in VID number. I'm only looking for ones where ID equals VID. Okay, and that will be one, because IDs are unique. I can only handle one record. Okay, I don't have a looping ability to loop through. And even if I did, that's not how I handle multiple records. I handle multiple records in curses. And we won't get to curses this week, we'll get to them next week. But curses are essentially a hold area. So I take the records that I want to process, I extract them into this hold area, and then I process from the hold area using what's called a cursor. And so without a cursor, I'm limited to processing one record at a time. Okay, and I said back there at one point, oh, the Rhode Island's here, and I was looking at the output and not thinking. We're only processing one record. Okay, so whatever record I keyed in here, and I keyed in 22222, that's the only record that's being checked in all of these, is record 22222, to see if it meets the criteria. I'm not checking all of the records. And that's been true in all of these examples. I'm taking in an ID and I'm looking at one record. Okay? And you can tediously look at them all if you want to run it 10 times and take in 10 IDs or whatever. You can see them all. But we're only looking at one record at a time. Okay? Questions? Okay, I'm going to go back now to the introduction to PLSQL, because there's a few things I want to cover on that, and then we'll look at loops. So, again, when we started this, PLSQL is written in a block structure where each block performs a task. Blocks can be nested within each other, and that's the part that we're going to probably not talk much about today. We'll come back after we've done some stuff with curses and things and look at that. And saving ink notes, you can go away now anytime. There. Okay. So I'm coming down. And in this one that we looked at last time, I think, the declare and the begin are there. So I said P message. And then I assign something to vMessage, and that's lovely, it ran, it was successfully completed, and nothing happened. Okay, because all I did in this one is assign something to a variable. I set up a variable, and I assigned something to it. And again, remember, this is done in the editor. So I'm saying in the SQL prompt, edit, giving it a name. Then when I want to run it, I run it down here. Type it in the editor, save it, exit, and then @ or start, either one of those will run it. And you look for the thing that says PLSQL procedure successfully completed. And if you get that, all is well.
So to run any PLSQL,
pardon me?
To run a PLSQL code, you need to go into the editor.
You have to go in and run it. You write it as a script, basically. You're writing it as a whole program. So you go into the editor, write it, save it, come back and run it by that name. And it has a .sql extension that you'll see when you go in. If you want to get output while you're testing, you can do it this way. Set server output on. Then I declare a message, and I say the message, assign this to the message. And then I say dbms_output with a dot in between output and put line, and then the output is. And for some reason, I have an absolute avoidance of remembering that, so I have it written over my computer so that I will remember that line. But that line will generate output on the screen. So when I run it, it says what I told it to say. The output is concatenated with the message. And so I get the output is followed by my message. Okay, so that lets you run stuff, yeah.
The two vertical lines separate, they separate the string and the variable?
Yeah, they're concatenating. Oh. The two, in this language, this, the two vertical lines that do a concatenate.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
As opposed to, in some others, you get the plus and that sort of thing. But the concatenate here is two vertical lines. So that DBMS output dot put line is, and it doesn't have to be in caps, is the line that will generate output and put it out on the screen. And then again, if I've set server output on, when I leave, I set server output off. Okay, just so that I don't mess up settings. And then when I run it, I get output. So if you are testing a program and you want to show the output just because you want to see it because you're testing the program, you can add this to your program at any point, and you can have multiple DBMS lines and whatever, and just add it to your program, and then you can see output as you're going along. Okay? Okay, this one is a pain in the neck. I can if I want to, and I really don't understand why I want to. Declare a variable at the SQL prompt. So I've declared a variable vMessage, okay? And notice the line up above it. It says the colon V message inside the begin is necessary because V message was declared externally rather than within a block. So I declared it externally. Then I say edit, and it goes into the editor, and I am editing that. And I have colon V message here, because it's already been declared externally as opposed to being declared within the script. Okay, it's been declared externally. And putting the colon there tells it that it has been declared externally in SQL. Okay, so then I write the message, and this message still works. Then I go out and I go back and I run it with either start or at sign, it doesn't matter which. It tells me it was successfully completed. And then I say print vMessage, and it actually, back at the SQL code, and it actually shows vMessage. My basic opinion is that life is too short. The problem, the main problem is that when you're going back and forth between doing something at the SQL prompt and doing something inside, then you can't do it again without going through those steps. Okay, so my feeling is that if you're writing PLSQL, you write PLSQL and you put it all inside the code so that when you run the code, everything works, as opposed to setting something up externally, then going in and running code, and then going back and doing something externally. Okay? You look like you have a question. See, I can tell when you're sitting in the front row.
Yeah, I was just thinking, so it's like a global variable.
Yeah.
They create it so they can use it in multiple scripts.
Right.
So instead of calling it every time.
Yeah. It's a global variable, and you can use it multiple times. I still don't like it, because then anybody that runs the script has to remember that they have to set that up ahead of time. And you want the one of the reasons for having scripts is so that people that don't know anything about Oracle can run them, or don't know anything about scripting can run them. And if they have to remember that they have to set something at SQL before they run it, you're going to get a 50-50 op whether they're going to remember or not. So it just seems to me that it makes sense to keep everything. You know, I have a cynical view of users based on experience. And so I like to keep it so that users can't make mistakes too often. Okay, so you can also, and this is my opinion, is a better way. I still don't think I'd bother, but if you declare it within the edit, but you don't put it within the PLSQL program. In other words, if I was doing the PLSQL program, I would have a declare, and then I would declare the variable. So again, going back and looking up at the top, you see that you have a declare section, a begin, exception, and end. Okay? And begin and end are required, the other two are not. So if I come down here, now I gotta find it again. There it is. If I come down here, and I put the variable in, but I don't put it inside the declare, then it's not within the PLSQL block. And if I end and then print, again, I'm not within the PLSQL block. Again, I tend to do everything within the block, but if you want to do it this way, that works all right, because I am still putting an all such that when I run edit first intro, when I do an at sign first intro, I will get everything done. Okay, and in this one, because it's not declared in the declare, you have to have the colon V message just as if you declared it at the SQL prompt. So essentially, even putting it in the block, these two lines are being executed at the SQL prompt, and then it is next. Then it's doing the code in between. Okay. You can add comments. You can use in a single line comment. You can use hyphen hyphen comment, and several lines can be put into the slash asterisk and end it with an asterisk slash. So you can put comments within your program. Putting comments in is a very good idea. I don't do it because I don't want to take up the space when I'm putting up programs, but obviously, you will be appreciated by your peers if you put in comments, if they inherit your program. So comments are an excellent idea to put in. The only problem with them is that once you put comments in a program, you've got to update them when you update the program. And there's just too frequently when comments are there that talk about the original program, and 10 changes have been made to the program and nothing has been changed in the comments. And so you have to take comments with a grain of salt and hope that the person updated them as well as updating the program. But reality is, lots of times that's one of those, I'm in a hurry, I'll go back and do it later. And we all know what go back and do it later means. Okay. And again, here is that DBMS output line, and as I said, it can be either upper or lowercase. So you say set server on, which is outside the block. Set server off, server output off, which is outside the block. And you can do the DBMS within the block. So in this case, I am writing out, okay, the result, which was the ID number concatenated with a couple of spaces, concatenated with the name, concatenated with a couple of spaces, concatenated with a year goal. This time I hard coded in the number that I wanted. Not a very realistic thing to do. Better to take it in the way I have on the others with the ampersand in front of the word you want to take in. Because if you hard code it, it's stuck there. Okay?
Does the V with the underscore in front of the column, does that just represent variable?
Yes. Okay. And that's just my code. You can call them anything you want.
Okay.
I just put the V there to remind me which are variables and which are the names that are out on the file. Okay, because the names out on the file, I'm calling ID number, name, year, goal, because that's what's out on the file. So I just put the V underscore in, which tells me that this is a variable. Okay.
So it's just to differentiate.
So differentiate and to remind me, I mean, you have to give them a different name.
Right.
But I could call them ID number one, name one, year, goal one, whatever. And again, this type business means that you are picking up the type from going to the table called donor new and taking the type of ID number. And that means that when the file gets changed and somebody puts in a new description for ID number on the file, because they decide they need to make it bigger, all the programs will reflect that, as opposed to having to go back in the programs, and when you change the structure of the file, change the structure of all the programs. So it just makes life a lot easier, because it automates that. And if I up the ID from 5 to 6 characters, then it's going to be upped here as well. Okay. Okay. And I don't have to take in the ID up at the top when lots of times I put it right there and it takes it in. I can also do it in the begin, where I can say the ID number equals to, and that prompts. Putting the ampersand means that you'll get a prompt, okay? You type it in, and then it finds a match and prints out the information, okay? Now, I didn't set the verify off and on here. So that means I get the old and the new. If you don't want to see that, you set verify off and set verify back on again. So I typed in 11111. It went and told me that the old was that, the new was the substitution of the 1111 that I typed, and then it retrieved the record and showed me the ID, the name, and the year goal. And you can also use the except. So the except is another way that you can take in the ID number. Okay, so this is another way that I can prompt for the ID number, is to say except input ID. Okay, so that then gives you a particular prompt that you want, and if the prompt came up and says enter the identification number, I entered it, and it gave me the same result. Okay. So on this one, okay, and this is the embedded one that I'm going to come back to. I'd like to go back to this one here, and I'd like you to take a minute and write something similar. So go in and make sure that you are getting comfortable with writing PLSQL. So I'd like you to do something similar. I don't care what you do. But do something similar to that with a file that you have, and take 5 or 10 minutes to do that, and then we will move on to loops. So again, you start out with saying edit, give it a name, it gives you the prompt, is this something new or old, whatever, and you put it in. By the way, if I'm not getting homework from you, I should be, just in case you wonder. 80% of your grade is homework. Some people are way, way behind, and you need to get yourself caught up. Yeah. If you get out, you're not going to be able to get back in. Somehow, that seems to have gone away. Did you mess up 2 or 3 times or something? No. And you're positive you typed the right password. Yeah. That's the original password that you used to log in here.
Right.
Right.
I changed this one, so they both the same because I kept forgetting this
one. Okay. And but the one you just typed is the one you used when you logged in this morning.
Yes.
I suspect you couldn't log in if you went back out, but try going back out totally. Okay. And I just let's see if it's not working. Yeah. can't log in here, then you have to go in the same number.
If we get it, we can name it.
And wait a minute, you want to go in the K, okay. I keep thinking, think that's gonna come up. And it's working. Unless when you change them, you make them the same, something went wrong. Have you used them before, but since you changed them?
Last two months.
Okay. Then I have no idea.
Now should I try my old scheme to create word into?
But it seems to have worked all right to get in here, although the welcome is taking an extra long time. So it's time to show up. Well, we can sit here and watch the welcome spin forever. It's apparently one of our destinations. Yes, it is. Yeah. So try it one more time. Let's see. And that is giving the CIS what numbers to see, so right? Go ahead and look at it and see if it'll come up in the next CIS web, Bristol CCWD. Go ahead and try the other one, see if it works. Basically, I think you're going to have to see Kayla or Eric and walk them through that and see how it comes out. Okay, did everybody get something working?
Yeah, still typing.
Still typing. You're in the transfer program, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's not last semester.
And you've got to owe me a gazillion homeworks, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will get through this.
All right.
I have them like done. I just haven't had the chance to sit and email and see what the questions I have.
Okay. 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 But I just know that you are.
Yeah.
I'm in need of a lot of work from you. Okay, how are we doing? Has anybody run into problems? Other than him who can't log in? Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're going to have to see Eric or Kayla. And it may have something to do with you changing the password. It may have something to do with nothing. but I don't have the administrative powers. They don't trust me. Okay, I'm going to start loops in a few minutes, so you make a choice of what one. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to go see the home. Okay. Somebody said they had a question?
Yeah, I just did this work for it to see what would happen.
Okay, and what happened?
And I get that.
Okay, do you have a file called donor new?
I have a file called donor.
Okay, then you better change it to donor in a lot of those because I've got it as donor new.
I'm glad you said something.
Yes, mine was called donor new.
Okay, so we need to get the new out of there, is what you're saying, right?
Or else do a create table donor new as select asterisks from donor, which is apparently what I did.
Yeah.
You just say, you know, create table donor new as select asterisks from donor, and then you get a copy. Basically, I either messed up donor or I didn't want to mess up donor, so I made another copy of it.
It's like me, mine's donor 4. It took me 4 times to get it ready.
Okay. So now you can make donor 5.
Yeah.
But I mean, this one, I think, was it doing an update or not? Because if it's doing an update, I probably made it so it wouldn't update mine, but I don't think that one was doing an update.
No, I was just looking for
output. I was just looking for output, so you're fine. But when I'm going to do an update in PLSQL, I make a new table so that I won't mess up my original table. Okay, in fact, I just don't touch donor much. I've got 10 copies of it with other names, yeah.
I've got something in my categories. It's not related to this lesson at all. I was wondering if you could shed some light on what's going on.
In your categories?
Yeah, I just left off the categories on my tables. I would not be so dumb as to name them this.
No, that's the ones that they are backup ones that they have on there.
Oh, okay, because I don't remember typing any of this in. If I did, I would have really
drawn through. No. Other people have been getting those too. And I think they're the ones that somehow are backup for something or something that they do in there when they create yours.
Okay, so I can't do those?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can ask if where they came from.
Okay.
And then you can delete them. But for now, I honestly don't know whether there's something that they need to keep track of stuff or not. I don't know what they did. I don't think I get them. But they're always... So are you seeing the DBMS output? That's what I want us to make sure.
So when it asked me to put the ID number, I just put in whatever I have on my donor. And
right,
it tells
exactly.
Me it was completed successfully.
Yes.
Okay.
So and then if you have the DBMS in there, you should be seeing a line. If you did, you need to have had the set server output on, then you can have the DBMS line. And then you set server output off after the slash. And if you do that, you should be seeing the DBMS output on the screen. No?
Yes.
Okay.
This?
No. You should, oh, yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you just save and then hit.
And then you just do edit. Whatever you
need. Edit is when you create it. You do @ when you're running it. Right?
Oh yeah, or start. I did start.
Start. Either @ or start when you're running it. And the set verify off and set verify on. If you don't want to see the old and new, remember you do a set verify off and then set verify on and you're done. So you can do both settings. You can set server output on and set verify off. And then you won't see the old new part. Okay? And you can have them both. Okay, so you can have the set server output on, and then if you want to set verify off, then you won't get the old and new part. And then down here, you're going to set verify back on again.
So I have a question.
Yep.
Why do we need all these variables for the one that you have here?
Because
why not just a variable in item number donor dot donor?
Try it. Okay, so there is my output. So if I go into test one, okay, that's why you have to have them. It's yelling at me when I took them out, okay?
It didn't work?
Right, it won't.
Okay.
When I change this to use the names from the file, it says ID number must be declared, and if I fix that, it will then come back and say name must be declared, and if I fix that, it will come back and say, okay? So, if I come back in here now and put the V underscore there and come out and say file save, file exit, and I run test one, now it's yelling at me about name. Okay? And so
I won't be doing anything else.
Then I'm edit test one, and I'll go back and put the V underscore in these, and then it will work again. Okay. So what I did is I select into the variables that PLSQL can use. So I say take the stuff from the file and store it in these variables that it can use. And then I say where ID number, which is still part of the select, so it's referring to the original, equals 12121.
Okay. Okay, has anybody got problems or is it running? You've got problems? What's...
I don't even know what's going on here.
Okay.
It won't even let me, like, it first it gave me a error here when I first went to run it.
Server output, it doesn't like the spelling of it. Go in and edit.
But when I tried to...
yeah, right.
It gave me all this gobbledygook here.
Yeah, right. Control alt delete by any chance. Control alt
delete.
What was that DNS out thing? Let me go into task manager just in it.
Oh,
and then go into putty.
So where would you put it?
So come in here.
Yeah, applications.
Okay.
So we have
to log back in.
Yeah, well, that's there. Extra practice.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it won't find it. It'll find it.
It should find it, but then you won't see it.
So the DBMS line again actually prints out the information so that you can see it. Okay, looking at loops, which is what I want to do next, and I'll try looking at yours at the end, but
okay.
By the time you get in.
Yep.
Okay, introduction to loops. Okay, there are several, as it says, looping style. And I just created a table to play with. So I created a table, test loop, and I put a record number and a counter and data in, and I don't think I actually ended up using data in at all. But I ended up just creating a table that I could play with. So, what I'm going to do is insert into the table. Okay, so this is my beginning loop. And I can have, this is a loop and an end loop. Okay, so I have the loop and the end loop. And when I want to get out of this, I can exit. Let me, this. Okay, so when I want to get out of it, I exit. So I started out and I declared the record number and the counter, and as I said, I didn't even use data in.
So I'm saying here inside the loop. And the only thing this program does is put data into the table. Okay, that's all it does.
So I said insert into test loop record number and counter. Since I'm not using the data in, I had to tell it what fields I wanted to use.
Okay, so I said insert into these two fields, these two values. Okay, and I started the values out at 1 and 100. And then I said, okay, now that you've done the insert, add 1 to the record number and add 10 to the counter, and then I tested to get out.
If the V record number is greater than 5, then exit. So that exits the loop. And then I have an end if on that.
I can have multiple exits in the program. Code-wise, there's a lot of people that would complain about an exit. Okay, so this would not be the favorite kind of loop for a lot of programmers.
But it works.
I do try to at least have the exit at the bottom of the loop and not inside to satisfy, because they're curious about that, good. To satisfy people that don't like exits strewn throughout the data. And having come from a world that was prior to procedural programming, I understand that, because we used to have one of our major instructions was a go-to. And the go-to could take you in at any point you wanted to go in, and it could end up with a complete entangled web. And we had a lot of exits. And so go-tos and exits did not lead to well-done programming. And so people remember that. And there's a lot of complaints about exits. But as this works. So if the record number is greater than 5, then I exit out of the loop. Okay? And I can have an exit at multiple places. So now I'm deleting everything because I'm going to use it again. And if I don't delete, those 5 records will be there. Okay, so I did a select to prove that I'd actually done it, and now I'm getting rid of it. Okay. Okay, this one is, I think, a better way of doing it than having the if statement, and that is a loop and exit when the record number is greater than 5. Okay, and if I put that especially at the bottom of the loop, then it's a little more structured and a little more procedural. So this has an exit when. Okay, so instead of the if, I use the exit when. And again, I put in the 5 numbers. And again, I'm going to delete them. Okay, so on this one, I started it out at 6. Okay, so you can see, and I didn't do a very good job of copying the output, but anyway, you can see that when I started this out at 6, it goes through the loop once because my test is at the bottom. Okay? If I put the test at the top, then it would have exited earlier. Okay, so I say exit when V record number is greater than 5. I started out with 6. Since the exit's at the bottom, it goes through it once and then goes out. And as I said, if I put the exit at the top, then I would have gotten out without doing anything. So there's an argument for the top. And this is another way I can handle it. If V record number is less than 6, then do the insert. Otherwise, don't. And so this has no records put in. Okay, so I said if V record number is less than 6, then do the insert. Otherwise, don't. And then I have the exit. But again, I could have moved the exit to the top. Okay. This is a more traditional loop. This is the while loop. And the while loop is kind of your traditional loop in every language. So here I'm saying, while V record number is less than 6, loop. So I'm testing at the top. I won't enter if it's less, unless it's less than 6. So I will only go in if it's less than 6. Okay. So this is the loop that most people use, because it is the standard while loop. Okay, and every language has a while loop, and every language's while loop pretty much works like this, and so everybody's used to it, and this is the one you see the most frequently. Questions? So I created it again. And then when I put in the 6 as the starting point, it did not do anything because it said, well, the record number is less than 6. Since it started out at 6, it just ended the loop. Okay? This doesn't have an exit in it. It works the way it does again in other languages. So, while the record number is less than 6, loop. If it's not, don't loop. And so it dropped out, and I proved that by saying select asterisks from test loop, and there were no records selected. So that proves that it didn't put anything in there. And then every language has a for loop, but in this one, the for loop is different than it is in other languages. I said for index in, and you can reverse lower bound up to upper bound. Then you can reverse as in make it go backwards. So I can have for I in a 1 to 5 loop, and this will give me the same results that I've been getting. So for I from 1 to 5 is the way you write it. For I to 1 to 5, and you have to put in the word in loop. And so I starts out at 1, it automatically gets incremented. I don't have to increment it, which is true in all for loops. The control gets automatically incremented in a for loop. And so I is, and the reason I used I is because I just tends to be what people use. And they clearly used it before Microsoft started changing lowercase i's to uppercase i's, because now it's a pain in the neck, because you have to convince it that it's a not. So I'm not sure that I is a good word one to use anymore, but I kind of stands for index, and people used it as the default thing in a for loop. The default counter in a for loop was always set at I. For I in 1 to 5 loop. So it goes through and does the loop 5 times and generates the output that you can see. Okay, you can also set the things. So here I set V lower, and I set V upper. Set V lower to 1, set V upper to 5, so it does 1 to 5 again. If you're getting sick of 1 to 5, sorry about that. And so it generates them again. For I in reverse from lower to higher, and so I in reverse goes back and does 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. So I in reverse, and that's two ways of doing it, gets me 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. You didn't really need to do the -1.
Oh, I didn't have it, just has one. Oh, I printed out I, that was what I did differently.
VRecord number is I, and I printed out VRecord number, and then the next one I printed out I. Or I put I, didn't insert with I. Here I didn't insert with VRecord number. So if you want to go in reverse, you have the in reverse. And this is written, and I think, really in an awkward kind of way. But it's the way that they did it. Other languages have a much cleaner form statement, in my opinion, where they have the set, the check, and the change all going along. And this one is more klutzy, but it works. We've got 5 more minutes, so what I'd like you to do is just play with one of the loops and do something with one of the loops. You can create my little wonderful table there and not even bother with data in since I never used it. So you can do the create and create it and then just try one of the different loops. And I never made it here even. Okay, remember that I said you could move the exit when up to the top and you'd only get 5 things, and I didn't have an example of that, so I just did it and moved the exit, only I just made it go away also. Okay, so I just moved it to the top, and then I only got the 5 things. Yeah. Did you give yours anything?
I was trying to keep up what you were saying before, and then came back to it, so.
when the server output you get.
Uh-oh.